Hey, check, check, check. Thank you, bro. You're the man. That was good, son. That's right. Yeah, we get a little hyper every now and then, it seems like. Every now and then. Every now and then. Isn't God good? All right. Let's fix that back again. Isn't God good? God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He's good to you. Oh, the low rider. Who's trying to get my attention? Which one? Oh, okay. DC was blowing kisses at me. I was trying to see what he was trying to tell me. He ain't done that since he's about 3, so I didn't know what was going on. Oh, when I called, I thought it hit me. I thought he was throwing it at me. Okay. Go ahead, Vicky. That's awesome. When is the spring fling? Okay. Awesome. All right. Also, on the 18th is the spring fling, but also on the 18th, we're going to have a door opening. How many knows what a door opening is? Some of y'all haven't been around. Yeah, door opening is actually when we have membership, open for membership. So anybody's interested in becoming a member of this church, on March 18th, we're going to have a door opening service, which at the beginning of the service, we're going to ask all that are interested to come up here, and then we're just going to say a few words, invite them into our fellowship, and y'all going to come up and shake their hands. So March 18th, put that in your calendar. If you're interested in joining this church, please come see me. You can see one of the deacons. You can go see Jeannie. But eventually it's going to come back, see me, and we're going to talk about it. And it's going to be good. I'm going to just explain to you what's going to happen so you won't get up here and go, wow, I didn't know they were going to shave my head and make me walk back. So March 18th. At least in Emmaus make you ride the mule, so you ain't got to ride the mule. Amen. All right, so March 18th, door opening. So if you hear me say door, of course, there'll probably be door opening in the bulletin. They're about to say church membership day where we're going to open the doors for church membership. This oldie but goldie. I happened to see this the other day. I was reading through some other stuff, and I happened to see this, so I thought I would just bring this out. This is so awesome. A minister decided that a visual demonstration would add emphasis to his Sunday sermon. So he took four worms and he placed them in four separate jars. The first worm was put in a container of alcohol. The second worm was put in a container of cigarette smoke. The third worm was put in a container of chocolate syrup. And the fourth worm was put in a container of good, clean soil. At the conclusion of his sermon, the minister reported the following results. The first worm in the alcohol was dead. The second worm in the cigarette smoke was dead. The third worm in the chocolate syrup was dead. The fourth worm in the good soil was still alive. And just as he's getting ready to tell what's going on, a little old lady in the back quickly raised her hand and said, I get it, I get it. As long as you drink, smoke, and eat chocolate, you won't have worms. Oh, ain't God good. All right. Woo, look at that. Well, don't you wish you could go to something you broke and just push the button and say, hey, Lord, can you just fix that for me? And all of a sudden you see him just go, come on up here. Come on up. Come on. There you go. Fix it all back again. All right, so here we go. You reap what you sow. We've been talking, this is the last week. We're talking about the seven laws of the harvest. This is the last week. Somebody say praise God. Amen. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. This is probably one of the most awesome laws that God has in his word. And when you see this, soon as I say you reap what you sow, people start talking about money, 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 money. Well, if this is only about money, then I'd put dollar signs up there. You reap what you sow. But this is about every area of your life, every relationship of your life, on your job, with your children, with your wife, with your husband, with your in-laws, your outlaws, with all of them, with the church, with God. This is a universal rule that cannot be broken, and it will work, guaranteed. It will work every time. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Turn to verse 7. Stand for the reading of the word. Ready? Here we go. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. In other words, I'm telling you that be not deceived. A lot of times we deceive ourselves because we think that no matter what we sow, we're going to reap a different harvest. I can guarantee you, if you sow sugar beets, you're not going to get corn. If you sow corn seeds, you're not going to get apples. What you sow is what you're going to reap. God is not mocked, saying that God, you can't try to pull the wool over his eyes. You can pull the wool over my eyes. You can pull the wool over your spouse's eyes, your children's eyes, but you cannot pull the wool over God's eyes. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And I like his conditions. He gives us all kinds of promises in this word. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them that are of the household of faith. Let's ask God to bless and to touch and anoint his word. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we know, God, that right now, Lord, word is going to be sown. And Lord, I know, God, that it's going to go on fertile soil. But no matter what soil it falls on, I know this word eventually will come back, and it will not come back void. I thank you, Lord, for all that you do, all that you say, I thank you, God, that you're in total control at all times. There's never a time that you're not in control. There's never a time that you don't have it going on. I thank you, God, for all you do, for all you say. And Lord, let this word sink into fertile soil today. And Lord, if there's somebody here that up to this moment has said, oh, it's just about money, or oh, it don't mean anything, or I can do whatever I want to, and God's going to let it get by. No, let this day, let it sink into their, not just their head, but into their spirit and their heart. And let them know that it is probably one of the most powerful promises that God has given us. It can be negative or it can be positive, but it's a guaranteed promise that's going to take place. Not my word, but yours, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to help all of us to think about it in a very powerful way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, on the way down, tell somebody it's good to be here in the house of the Lord. Give them a high five, low five, no five, 3 1/4, 3 1/2, something. Amen. Amen. All right. This, remember now, just a few slides from the last couple of weeks for those that have not been here, for those that may have forgotten, for those that weren't paying attention the last 2 weeks. All right. Okay, that's funny. I don't care who you are. That's funny. All right. This is the year 2018. 2000 is the number of resurrection, new life, 18. 8 is the number of new beginnings. So this is going to be a very powerful year. And it's already happening for some of us. For others of us, it's going to be happening. And in order for you to see it fully in your own lives, you're going to have, I do mean you're going to have to do what this thing tells us, okay? And we've got to fulfill our part. So in order for us to fulfill our part, to do our part, we've got to understand that God gives us these laws. It's the laws of the harvest. And these laws are universal. They work anywhere. They work in any... Daniel's tickled me. Daniel was learning Spanish. Daniel kind of bored me one day because he was at the doctor's office and he said, Dad, I need you to come help me. I need you to come pull me, you know, drive me back home after I go to the doctor's office. I said, all right. So I go in there and there's some elderly Hispanics sitting across and they're trying to talk to the girl behind the counter and she doesn't know what they're saying. And all of a sudden they just start rattling off and all of a sudden Daniel says they're saying that they're having a headache and one's got a stomachache and they need you to take the doctor look at them and they don't have this and that. And he went on down the line and I went, wow. I said, I didn't know that you learned how to speak Spanish that well. He said, well, Dad, I am a deputy. I need to know this stuff. I said, so what do you do if you find, what do you do? You learn Spanish. What about if you come with somebody that doesn't speak Spanish and doesn't speak English? She said, Daddy, I've got a universal language that anybody can understand. I said, you do, son. What is it? He said, he said, I don't care who they come from, what they are, what nationality. If I come up behind them and go, he said, they automatically go. So these laws are universal. They're simple. You don't have to have some kind of college degree, some kind of master's degree, a doctor degree. This is simple and it's absolute because this works in every area of your life and it's stable. It will not fall. It will not fail. It works. Somebody look at somebody and say it works. It works. Absolutely, it works. And so this system of laws that is set up, none are more important in all of these laws. None are more important than and significant than this right here, and that is to govern the harvest that we reap. So here it is, the law of harvest, and we're going to talk about some laws, and we're going to talk about some other things. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he reap. So here's the laws of harvest. I'm getting ready to jump right into this week. See, bear with me for a minute though. The law of harvest can be divided into 7 laws and 3 basic principles. We've gone over 1 basic principle so far, but here it goes. The first principle, harvest is a consequence. You don't just wake up one day and there it is, the harvest is there. Something has happened, either your action and or positive or negative, and your act or your lack of action or your inaction also brings a harvest. If you've got if you've got a door that's deteriorating because it's got a crack in it and the rain is tearing it all to pieces and you do nothing to it and it just keeps on and on and on and on, guess what you're going to reap? A rotten door for your inaction. The same way, there's all kinds of ways. Inaction, action, positive, negative, whatever we do, God says, not me. Don't go and say, well, the preacher said. No, God said. What we reap or what we sow, we will always reap what we sow. Now here's the last slide from last week, and we're going to jump on into this week coming up. Ready? Let's get ready to go. You reap what you sow, so make sure you go sow good seed. So here it is. Watch this. He said, be not mocked. God is not deceived. For whatsoever that kills, if you think I'm just talking about money, that killed it. Matter of fact, that killed if you think I'm just talking about actions. Whatsoever, actions, attitude, whatever you have in your possession, whatever you have control over or think you have control over, whatever it is, whatsoever, he didn't put any specifications on it, whatsoever a man soweth, whatever it is, you think of something, any action you do, any word that comes out of your mouth, you're sowing a seed. Any word, you know, I've been thinking about this so hard, and I try to do it all the time anyway, but lately, when I go and I come up with somebody, I'll try to find something immediately when I see them. I'll try to find something nice about them, you know, or something I know they have done or something about them right then, and I will immediately start talking about whatever that is, and then I'll let it get into God's got good things for you. You just got to trust him. And they'll go, well, how'd you know that I'm having such a hard time now? Just about every time. How'd you know I was having a hard time? Well, you know what? If I hadn't started out with something good, they probably wouldn't have told me they were going through something bad. I mean, people I don't even know, other than through acquaintance, or work with Bethany, or work with DC, or Daniel. You know, they come up to me and say, you know, DC and Daniel's friends call me Pop, or Dad. And they'll come and say, hey, Pop, hey, Dad. And I'll go, yeah, I ain't seen you in a while, blah, blah, blah. And I go, but you know what? I always remember the time you did such and such, and it was so awesome. You know, and then they'll go, well, you know what? I'm really having a hard time now. And so it gives a chance for me to talk to them and try to lift them up, try to encourage them. And so again, remember, whatever you sow, whether it be out of your mouth, by your actions, by your attitude. Some people at times have a stinking attitude. I know y'all don't. I probably preach to the wrong people. If somebody here ever has a stinking attitude, listen. Somewhere. That was awesome. Kind of scared me to start with, though. Made me check my attitude real quick. Yeah. All right, ready? So here we go. Seed, here it goes. Here it goes. These are some laws. Seed always surrenders to the law of reproduction. Whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap. Your seed always surrenders to the power of reproduction. We always reap more than we sow. So if you sow 10 seeds, you're going to reap a lot more. Remember the corn we talked about last week? I got it kind of backwards. Eddie reminded me, one little piece of corn, I'm going to cut it short, one little piece of corn can cause one stalk to grow. One stalk has 3 ears of corn. 3 ears of corn has about 250 pieces of corn on each. And so if you look at it and see all this, actually that one little corn reproduces itself 750 times, which is 75,000% increase. Wow. So you say, well, I don't understand. Well, I don't understand why that person is so mad at me. Well, maybe it's because you sowed that seed and you're getting back 750. Uh-oh. Well, I don't understand why I'm not getting any help from all these people. Well, you had that chance to sow that one little seed and now you're getting back 750. Woo! So it could be whatever the seed is. It doesn't have to be that number, but still, you always, there's the law of reproduction. You're going to reap what you sow. The power of reproduction, you always reap more than you sow. And then there is the path of reproduction. We always reap where we sow. In other words, if your marriage is hurting right now, don't be worried about everybody else's marriage. You better worry about yours. If you're having problems with your children right now, don't be going and trying to take care of everybody else's child and fix their problems. You better take care of you and your child. Because I'm telling you, where you sow is where you're going to reap. There's nothing wrong with helping to other people. But if you're having a problem, you better address that problem and you better take care of it. I've seen people get fired at Procter & Gamble and fired at Fountain because they were having problems in their area, but they were too busy trying to solve problems in other areas. And the boss said, but your job is failing. Your job is wrong. You don't do it. But I'm helping that person. Well, that person's doing what they're supposed to do. You should be here. I remember coaching basketball. And our team was awesome. We really were doing good. And we had a guy named Brandon. And DC was my power forward. And Brandon was my center. And DC and Brandon both were very, very tall compared to the rest of the guys on the team. And so DC and Brandon were up. I kept them in the paint all the time. And Brandon, though, I said, Brandon, here's what I want you to do. I need you to stay under the net. I need you to rebound for me. He said, why is that, coach? I said, because you're very tall. I didn't want to tell him this, though, and you're very clumsy. So I need you to stand still. Let DC. DC's not clumsy. Let DC take care of the moving. You just take care of standing here and grab the ball and throw it to DC or whoever else is here. He could definitely rebound. Well, one day, after he knew that, in every practice, he stayed in there to rebound. One day in a game, he pulls over and he jumps over and he pulls over in everybody's spot and shoots the ball in everybody else's spot. He shoots power forward. He shoots the driving forward. He goes back here. He shoots he's just everybody. He's just taking care of the point guard, the other guard. He's just taking care of everything. He was shooting from all over the place. He was making it. People were hollering. I looked over at his daddy, who was my assistant coach. And I did like this. He said, I know. Do what you got to do. I said, come here, Brandon. He said, didn't you say I just made 10 points for us? I said, yeah, that was awesome. Now sit on the bench. He said, but coach, I made 10 points. I said, and that's the last ones you're going to make for a while. Sit on the bench. He said, but I said, your points are still being made under that net. You make more points under that net doing what you're supposed to do. You make a bunch of points, second chance shots off of rebounds. I said, that's where you're good at. I said, the other guys are out there in case you miss or in case you throw it to them, but you're supposed to stay under there, get second chance points, get the rebounds, pass it to whoever. And I said, and what are you doing? He said, well, I just want to show you my skill. I said, I know your skill. It's under the net. He said, what you want me to do, coach? I said, I done told you what I want you to do. Sit on the bench. And so he sit on the bench, and he's going, they need me, coach. They need me. I said, but I need you to listen to me more than they need you to shoot. Come on, somebody. God's got some of y'all sitting on the bench and wondering why. That right there was worth $100. Get the ushers out here. Finally, after the game, just about toward the end of the game, I looked at him and he was going, oh, I got to go. I said, you better show me a better attitude while you're on that bench. So finally, he's sitting on the bench going, go, guys, go, guys, go, guys. And he was going, that's right. And when he started doing that, I said, okay, get up. Go back out there. I said, where are you going to play? He said, under the net. I said, what about the ball goes over there? He said, I'm still under the net. I said, what if they try to holler for you to come over here? He said, I'm still under the net, coach. You can depend on me. I never had to bench him again, ever. He stayed under that net. So, again, think about this. Some people right now, you're benched and wonder, God, why you benched me? It's because you're so busy planting in other fields when you need to be planting in your own. You need to be getting the harvest out of your own problems. Here we go. Here it goes. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to show you the harvest principles. Here it is. Watch this. Oh, look at this. I love this. I love this. This battery. I keep turning. When I slide this in the sleeve, it turns it on and leaves it on. So that's why my battery gets dead all the time. Don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds that you plant. Wow. Let me ask you a question. Are you planting? I can answer that. Yep. Every time you open that mouth, you're planting. Every time you open that mouth when you shouldn't, you're planting. Every time you keep that mouth closed when it should be open, you're planting. Every time you help somebody, you're planting. Every time you hurt somebody, you're planting. Every time you should be helping somebody and you keep your hands in your pocket, you're planting. Just remember this. Every action that you do in your life, you are planting. So, number one, harvest is a consequence. We will always reap what we sow. Number two, harvest is a process. It takes time and it takes steps. And number three, harvest is a season. There's appropriate time or a due season that we reap. You say, well, God, I planted the seeds. Where's it at? I don't see a harvest. Well, you got to give the seed a chance to germinate. You got to get the seed a chance to actually come up and spring forth and start bearing fruit. I was talking with a lady last night. She came to me and she was so excited. She lived in Pamlico Beach and she said, I've been talking to these young men for years. And I thought I was just talking to myself. Didn't seem like anything was happening. And she said, finally, this young man, after he got married, and I think he's got a child now, said he finally come up one day in church and got saved. Not only did he get saved, he got excited. He got excited about God and says, I want everything God's got for me. And he's been doing this now for almost a year. Not only has he gotten fired up about God, but now he's causing these other guys to listen to him that wouldn't listen to her. And now more stuff is springing up around. You know what I told her? I said, you were patient in the process of planting the seeds. And finally, one of the seeds popped up. And I said, just when you thought it was not going to be any good, it was not working, this guy pops up, and because of his excitement and because he can talk to other guys, now the other guys are rising up. So I said, see, your seed was not planted in vain. God took it and worked with it. It just didn't happen when you were expecting it to happen. Amen? So here we go. Get ready. That was the harvest principles. Now, here goes another law. Ready? Here's another law. Come on, buddy. You can do it. We reap in proportion to what we sow. This was the biggest thing I needed to learn when I first started sowing. And I really believe that a lot of people, if they would learn this, it would help them tremendously. We reap in proportion to what we sow. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, now this we say, or I say, he that sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. But he that sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Okay, God, I understand I'm going to plant something. So you go put a little old seed out there and leave it all by itself in the middle of that great big old field. Even when it comes up, you can't see it because it's so small. Or you can go ahead and say, I got you, God, and go ahead and plant some seed. I mean, plant them. Put them out there. And then when it comes up, it'll flood the place. You'll see it'll be awesome. Matter of fact, when you see this scripture right here, the first thing it talks about, actually, watch this now, is it deals with personal responsibility. We keep looking for people to blame about our problems. It's somebody else's fault. Blah, blah, blah. It's their fault. It's their fault. It's their fault. You know what? I've sown my way out of a lot of problems. And I don't mean just financially again. There's been some guys that I had problems with, guys at work, guys wherever, guys in school. I have problems with them. And I will start sowing, and I start sowing good seed in this relationship. And I'd always find that it always came back. When I sowed good seed into that relationship, instead of giving them what they were giving me, instead of giving back negative for negative, because you sow negative, you're going to reap negative. You sow the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh. I would sow positive, and I'd sow of the Spirit. And it was amazing how God would turn these situations around. So quit looking for somebody to blame. Get out your shovel. Get out your seed. It's also talking about faithfulness. Don't just talk about it. As a pastor, I have heard, if I could tell you how many times I've heard this, well, Pastor, we're going to, you just wait. Well, for some people, I've been waiting so long. In fact, I think I did their funeral. I'm still waiting. My favorite thing was to be out there working in the churchyard. And somebody drive by and say, Pastor, I was on the way to the dump. I thought the church might could use this. DC shaking his head because DC's been out there with me and heard it. I don't know how many times. Hundreds of times. Well, it's not good enough for me. It needs to be in the dump, but maybe I'll give it to God and he'll bless it. Oh, okay. That's not just sowing sparingly. That's kind of... Oh, okay, I'll leave it alone. All right. Faithfulness. And then finally, come on, baby, you can do it. All right, it just shows faith. You know, it's possible for you to limit your own harvest. Here's the harvest. It's right there. The potential's right in front of you. But you're scared to throw the ball. You're scared to reach up to catch the ball. You're scared to step out on faith. You're scared to step out of the boat. You're in that little comfort zone. And in that comfort zone is a lot of pain. That comfort zone is not always a good place to be because that comfort zone can have a lot of pain. You can have a lot of issues. But the reason it's called a comfort zone is because at least you know what to expect there. There's people that stay in relationships that shouldn't because of the comfort zone. There's people that stay in all kinds of things because of comfort zones. And they stay in the pain. Because at least they know what to expect. But you know what? Nothing ever good come out of comfort zones. Peter had to get out of the boat to walk on the water. You got to learn to start figuring out ways to step out of the boat and give God glory and give God honor. Amen? So here we go. Isn't this good stuff? Okay, I hope so. I know so, but I'm hoping y'all hope so. Amen. Once I learned this stuff, it made my life so much different, so much better. Okay, there you go. He that sows sparingly is going to reap sparingly. He that sows bountifully. You see, there's a dead plant on one side, and there's a vibrant plant on the other. So let me just show you something, you know. This is so awesome. If you want to have more than enough, and this goes against everything you think in your head, it goes against everything your flesh is talking about, it goes against everything Satan tries to tell you, but this right here is a fact. If you want more than enough, give. If you want less than enough, grasp. Gimme, gimme, gimme. My name's Jimmy. Gimme, gimme, gimme. The person that grasps usually lives a cold, hard, lonely life. But the person that gives, wow. There's relationships galore. There's all kinds of stuff happening around them. Their life is full of joy and spunk. So, look, I see this. If you want abundance, scatter. If you want to be needy, hoard. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said that the guy with one seed, the guy with five seeds, and the guy with two seeds, talents, five talents, two talents, and one talent. The one with five talents and two talents went out and traded and come back, and one had four and one had ten. But the other one went and hid it in the ground. He hoarded it. He hid it in the ground. He hoarded it. And so when the master came back, he said, how come that one with five has got ten, the one with two has got four, every man according to his ability? But the one with one, he said, why, you still only got one? He said, I know you're a hard man. I was scared you were going to be upset with me when you come back if I had lost it. So I hoarded it. And he said, give me that. He took it and gave it to the one with ten. And he said, you're going to be casting out of darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. So here it is, so simple. If you want abundance, scatter. And I don't mean just money. Again, y'all, you got to get your mind out of this, just money. Money is an important part of this, and money does count in this. But you got to remember, attitudes, actions, it's all kinds of things. You got to think about it. All areas of your life. If you want abundance, scatter. If you want to be needy, hoard. Every area of your life. So here it goes. Here goes another one. Here's another principle. I just put principles up now. Or laws. We reap in a different season than we sowed. I may sow today. There are some seeds I sowed in D.C. and Daniel, and I sowed them for years. And then there was a time where I didn't see any progress at all. Matter of fact, all I saw was back and back and back and back and back and back. And every time I get up here, and I look up, just like today, I was up here and we were playing, and DC said, Dad, now you got to get that walk down right. And all I could think about was when he was a little bitty fella and his fingers would barely fit on the strings. And I said, now, son, you got to stretch that finger. You got to, but it hurts, Daddy. I know it hurts, but you're going to get calluses. And that was so cool that when we got Bethany, we had to be fingerprinted because we were first foster parents, and we had to be fingerprinted. And so we're in the sheriff's office. We're getting fingerprinted. And they looked at me, and they said, you're a musician, aren't you? I said, yes, sir. I said, why you ask me that? He said, look at your fingerprints. And so in the FBI now it says David Linton has got scars. Got scars on my fingers. And I said, wow, I didn't even pay attention. They said, yes, so you're going to be kind of hard, easy to track. He said, none of you got your fingerprints, but now you got scars too, and these scars will be there from playing that bass. I said, wow, I never even had any idea. He said, yep. And then DC popped up and said, I got scars too. And the guy looked at him and said, okay, where? And DC said, I just started playing the bass, but I got him. You got to trust me. They're there, just like Daddy's. There's one there. Think about that. Now he's over here telling me how to do it also. And I sit back and think, you know what? All those years of all that sowing and having to be patient and sow and sow and sow, and now it's coming back like nobody's business. And I thank God. You see, you may sow today, in somebody's life, but it may not come back for years. But when it comes back, be ready, because usually when it comes later, it's going to be awesome. You're not even going to know what to do with it. So we reap in a different season than we sow. It says, for in due season, in due season. So watch this now. That word due refers to an occasion set or a proper time. I like this. Here it is. Watch this. It's a convenient season or a short time. So God's got an appointed time. Did you know that? God's got an appointed time for everything. That's the awesome part. Here comes the not so awesome part. Get ready, especially those that are hyperactive, type A personalities. Get ready. It can't be changed by us. God's got a time, and you can keep on. You can try your best to change it. All that's going to happen if you change it is you're going to mess it up. Matter of fact, why do I want to change it? If God was going to restore my seed, get back to my seed, I was going to reap 100-fold. Why do I want to reap 2-fold? Getting ahead of myself, or reap less than that because I got in the way. Let God take care of it. You know, it's going to happen. It's a guarantee it's going to happen, because I remember what God said in His Word. He says here, watch this. He says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Genesis 8 and 22. One more. Get ready. Here we go. Here we go. I got a little ahead of myself. We reap the full harvest. Remember, due time, here's another law, we reap the full harvest only if we persevere. You got to stay in there. You got to stay in there. Watch this. Don't grow weary in well doing, and we'll reap if we faint not. So watch this. It means more than taking a breather. Get ready. I talked to somebody yesterday. Somebody yesterday came up to me and said, and I didn't even realize they were on Mighty Army. These people have been on Mighty Army now for about 6 months. I didn't even know it. Or I did know it when I put them in, but I hadn't even thought about it. And this person came up to me because they don't go to our church. They're not even around here. I just happened to bump into them in town. And they said, man, I just got to tell you something. That Mighty Army, I said, well, praise God. I said, I'm just a delivery boy. I'm a Western Union guy. It's not me. It's God. And they said, yeah. I said, but I just got to tell you something. I said, what you got to tell me? They said, I was in college. I was at the registrar's office. I was so discouraged that I was getting ready to drop out. I was there to drop out. And my phone went ding, ding while I was waiting. I pulled it up and it said, Mighty Army, next time you think about quitting, remember the reason that you started. Wow. That's God. That ain't David Linton. David Linton got nothing to do with that. That's all God. And so I got a chance to talk to him a little bit about this. See, growing weary, if we faint not, that's actually a compound, growing weary and not fainting. You put it together. It means more than taking a breather. It means to do more than quit. Listen carefully. Please listen carefully, because here's where some of y'all are at right now. And I get there from time to time myself. Get ready. Grow weary is a process. It means to fade away. So to grow weary doesn't mean it happens overnight. It just keeps picking away and picking away and picking away and picking away. You're wanting to do something about it, but you just can't. So you just grow wearier and wearier and wearier. It just picks away. It picks away. Kind of like somebody with diabetes or somebody with cancer. You watch them, and you know they're always going to be a big person. You don't see them for a couple of months, and they're smaller. And you don't see them for another couple of months, they're even smaller. And then finally you get to them, and they look like they're just pure skeletons because they've just the disease has taken them out. And so again, grow weary is a process. Well-doing is just doing the right thing. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever get tired of doing the right thing? Or you can be honest. Don't raise your hand, but just, you know, think about it. You get thinking, I keep doing it, I have to go out of my way. You know, my Uncle Ralph forgot I moved to Washington, I reckon. One night I was sitting here working on a sermon, and Uncle Ralph called me up and said, Cricket. I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm having a problem. I said, what kind of problem are you having, Uncle Ralph? He said, he was getting in bad shape. He's really in bad shape now. He said, my wood box is empty. And he says, I can't go out on that back porch and pick up that wood. He said, I can take it from the wood box to the stove because right next to it. He said, but I can't do all that. He said, can you come put some wood in my wood box for me? I was working on a sermon. I'd already been in the hospital trying to hurry up and get that sermon done. And so I said, I didn't say, do you remember I don't live there anymore? I didn't. I just said, Uncle Ralph, can I bring it to you tomorrow for church? You got enough last year tonight? I'll come tomorrow for church and stop by and put your wood in your box. He said, well, I really need some now. Now I want to ask, he said, I've asked everybody else. Nobody's got time. And he said, and here I am. I need some wood for tonight. And I said, so I made some calls. And the people he said he called, I called. They weren't there. So I was going to say, how about go to Uncle Ralph and get him some wood? So Linda said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to go put wood in his wood box. So I drove all the way from Slatestone to Possum Track, get out of the car. As I'm walking up to his door, he opens the door and he says, I'm so sorry, bud. I forgot you moved. And I said, but didn't I tell you if you ever needed me, all you had to do was call me? He said, yeah. I said, well, didn't you need me? He said, yeah. I said, didn't you call me? He said, yeah. I said, didn't I tell you I'd be here? He said, yeah. And I filled it up. I mean, I filled it up to the brim. I mean, I filled it up so good. And he said, I'm so sorry I disturbed you. I said, you didn't disturb me. He said, but for some reason, I thought I just saw you driving down the driveway. I said, it was somebody else, Uncle Ralph. It's dark. It weren't me. I said, it's okay. You need me, you call me. So then I go to Chalkwin. I had to stop to Burger King. I went to stop Burger King to pick up something. And when I go to pick up, there's another guy hollers, David! And I was thinking, I hope he's not calling me because I need to get home. Work on my time. And so I turn around and look. And it's a guy I grew up with. And I said, how you doing, man? He said, come here. I come over there and said, I just wanted you to know I just had a heart transplant. I'm having a hard time and I want you to pray. And I said, okay. And we held hands and prayed. And then he starts telling me about all this. And so 30 minutes later, I get in the car. I didn't even get anything Burger King. Got in the car and I drove home. So it took me about an hour or two to do all this. But all I could hear in my head was, you did good, son. You didn't grow weary in doing what was right. I was up to 2 o'clock in the morning working on the sermon, but that's okay. I know when I sit back and look at it, I'd really feel bad if Uncle Ralph had died that night or Uncle Ralph had a problem that night and I didn't have time enough to go take care of his wood. And I'd have felt bad if that guy, he's sitting there talking about his chest is still hurting because he got an infection after he had his heart put in and blah, 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 blah. You know, but again, don't grow weary in well-doing, doing what is right. Here's what this is now. If you take this compound and put it together, growing weary and fainting, here it is. This is what it is. Remember, when Paul talks about the military and Paul talks about the Olympics. That's his two biggest things he talks about. This is an Olympic thing. The Olympics are on right now. It's the picture of someone quitting with the finish line in sight. That's what growing weary and fainting. Literally, it means to quit with the finish line in sight. Wow. There was a lady, she was trying to swim the English Channel. I can't think of her name, but she's trying to swim the English Channel, and it was foggy. She's going along. She's getting cramps. It's cold. She's even being stung, and she's going along, and she finally goes, I can't go any further. I can't go any further. I've got to quit. And the fog was there. She couldn't see anything. She couldn't see the goal line. Couldn't see the other side. All she saw was the fog. And she's going along and she's going along and she's going along. And she said, I can't go any further. I've got to quit. And she stopped. The fog lifted. And she was within a few yards of making it. Wow. So it's right now, it's foggy around you. You think there's no end in sight. You're thinking you're doing this for all the wrong reasons. There's no reason why you're even planting because you're not getting any harvest. You don't realize the finish line's in sight. You got to keep on going. You can't stop. You got to keep on going. You can't give in. You can't give in. There's too many people depending on you. There's a buddy of yours right now in a spiritual foxhole needs you to have his back, and you need to have his back. It's not time to quit. It's not time to give in. It's time to dig down and get even stronger. You see, and that word faint. That word faint doesn't just mean to quit. That word faint means to quit and walk away. To quit and quit trying. Just walk away. I've never in my entire life seen so many people quit things and walk away like I have in this day and time. It's the day we live in. They don't just quit, they walk away. They're not just saying, well, I may pick it back up later, or just give me a little breath. No, they just walk away. Just walk away. And again, to me, a measure of a spiritual man and a spiritual woman and a spiritual, really true spiritual mark of maturity is to get rid of that quitting and walking away. It's hanging in there, staying in there in the fight, because there's a lot of people you don't even know that's depending on you. So we reap the full harvest if we hang in there. And there's the last one. I'm quitting. Somebody say, praise God. Y'all didn't have to sound so enthusiastic about it. All right. I can't do anything about last year's harvest, but I can about this year's. Last year's is done gone. Harvest is gone. Matter of fact, I've already carried it to the market. Already got weighed out. It used to be fun to watch my granddaddy. We got there and he'd have his corn or have his tobacco, especially tobacco. He had these great old big sheets and he'd put the tobacco on the sheets and he would take them and he'd tie it up, you know, and throw them in the back of his truck and he'd get there and pull them down and they'd put them and the auctioneer would auction them off over there. Now there's a Mexican restaurant over down there by Moore's Automotive, the corner of 5th and 5th Street and 17th Street. Y'all remember the tobacco warehouse right there? Somebody help me out. I don't feel like I'm – oh, there you go. Okay, I was trying to think, am I messing it? I remember. He got in here to sell us tobacco. Okay, so watch this now. I can't do anything about last year. Last year – actually, I'm gonna tell you. Let me show you this. Luke 9:6. Tell me. Show you something about this scripture. Some of y'all already know because I've talked about it before. Some of you already know, but before I talked about it, some of you don't know it yet, but you're gonna know it before we leave. The Bible says, "And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Do not raise your hands, please. But how many think it's talking about fit for heaven?" Don't raise your hands. It's not talking about heaven. It's talking about now. Can I use your walker? Okay. Take the brakes off this bad boy. Yeah, take the brakes off. Are they all off? Okay. Watch this. This is my plow. Man, it's awesome. This is a high-tech plow. I got four wheels. Now look, when it says any man putting his hand to the plow, meaning now I've started plowing. I put my hand to it. Any man, it's talking about now, not in heaven, now. Any man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. What in the world does that mean? Here's an agricultural term now, because now Jesus is talking. Jesus talked in agricultural terms most of the time. So here's Jesus. Watch this. A man put his hand to the plow in order to sow. How many's ever plowed before? You had to keep your eyes on it. You couldn't take your eyes off of it because you didn't want to cross the roads. In order for it to be good, get a good yield, you got to do it right. Now watch this. So when I'm plowing, I've plowed before. I've plowed on a tractor. I've plowed not a mule, but if you count my brothers as a mule. Okay. Okay. So I've got to look where I'm going. Watch this. Though. Here's what it's talking about. Watch. Any man putting his hand to the plow. Watch this. And looking back. Oops, excuse me. I'm sorry, watch out. Yeah, could you get out of my way? That's what Jesus is talking about. Any man that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. You know why? Because he's doing a sloppy job of sowing. He's doing a sloppy job of agriculture. He's doing a sloppy job of taking care of his family. He's doing a sloppy job of taking care of business. He's doing a sloppy job. And so, as he's doing that sloppy job, not fit for the kingdom of God, literally he's talking about, look, you're there and you're doing it, but God's not honored by it. I want God to be honored by what I do. Matter of fact, I want it to be productive. When it tells us to break up the fallow ground in our hearts, that word fallow ground, how many's ever seen somebody come by? I used to live in the country, and all I ever see was fallow ground. Fallow ground was after a harvest. After a harvest, they would come through and harvest it, and you'd see the corn, you'd see the corn stalk still up, or you'd see pieces of from the field, other stuff, whatever the stuff was, the harvest would be laying on the ground. The ground would get hard and crusty, and it'd be old corn stalks or whatever. And if you tried to plow, if you tried to plant on that, it would never come up. You had to break up that fallow ground. You had to get a plow, a disc and a hare. You had to go through, cut the stuff up, and then you had to pull it up. And when you got through, it looked like brand new all over again. That's breaking up the fallow ground. So, again, look at this. No man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. Watch this. You know what looking back does? I like what John Wayne said. John Wayne said that was a pretty, he said, that's a bad habit looking back. He said, you might get shot. Also like what John Wayne said. John Wayne said was courage. You know what John Wayne said courage was? John Wayne said courage is being scared and saddling up anyway. All right. Like John Wayne. Matter of fact, watch this. I started to wear it. So I sowed a bunch of John Wayne sayings, and so I reaped the John Wayne shirt. The man, the myth, the legend. Amen. That's right. I got another one, John Wayne, that says, old dudes rule. Okay. And Brandon brought that to me, the praise practice. That's so awesome. All right. You may see me wear that Father's Day. All right, so here we go. Looking back brings choices. If you look back, first, regret, which will usually hold you back. If your life is full of regret, it's going to hold you back. Or you can change your outlook. You can't change the past, but I can change my outlook. I can look back and not be regretful, but I can look back and let it know that there's life lessons. I've learned that lesson. Don't do that again. Amen? Don't do that again. So watch this. And as we have opportunity, I'm going closing. As we go, guys, get ready. As we have opportunity, season the plant, actively, energetically pursue a course good for others. Now here it is again. Watch this. This is so awesome. You can count the number of seeds in the apple. Remember I told you last week I found 7 or 6. I swallowed one. So I had 6 in my hand and 1 in my belly. So I had 7. But you cannot count the number of apples in a seed. One up here, D.C. Y'all remember the story? I've told it so many times of Johnny Appleseed. Johnny Appleseed wanted to explore. He went and got with the other guys and explore. And I forget why he didn't go at the time, but he was working in an apple factory. And he would save sacks and sacks and sacks of seeds. Finally, the time came when he could go exploring. And so he rode through the Midwest and he took these sacks of seeds and he carried them with him. And everywhere he went, he would strategically plant apple trees and even apple vineyards. And somebody asked him, why was he doing this? He said, because what you're planting, you're never going to reap from it, ever. you're leaving it. Not only you're leaving it, he said, but still, some of these trees won't give apples by if you're dead and gone. What are you doing? He said, there's going to be people coming through here exploring this land, and they're going to be hungry. And there may not be a time for them to find anything else to eat or kill something. He said, but they can always reach up and grab an apple. Y'all heard an apple a day keeps the doctor away. A clove of garlic a day keeps everybody away. But he told him, he said, it's not about what I'm going to get out of it. He said, I want to do something that's going to outlast me. And I want to touch people in a way that no other way to touch them is these apples. And so many a weary traveler, and even to this day, people are eating apples from trees that Johnny Appleseed planted hundreds of years ago. Wow. Wouldn't it be nice to know that there's people coming to Jesus because of something you did, and even after you're dead and gone, they're still coming to Jesus because of something you did? There's people that are getting satisfaction in their life because of something you did, and you don't even know them. You have no idea. One guy told me he was sitting somewhere in class one day, and he said his phone went off, and he said he picked it up, and he said another guy went ding, and the other guy said, And before he opened it, he says, what's that? He said, I'm not sure where it come from. He said, but so one of my friends had a friend that had a friend that had a friend that he gets this mighty army thing. And he gets it every day and sends it to me. He says, what's your ding? He says, I'm on mighty army. I didn't even know the other guy. I have no idea who he is. That's minor. Mighty army's minor. Think about the people you touch, the people that you help on your job. The things you do, you can count the number of seeds in an apple, but you can't count the number of apples in a seed. Wow. God, help me not to grow weary and well-doing. Help me not just to pull up stakes and quit. And quit trying. Remember, you've heard it said, people say it all the time, when somebody dies, you've heard me say this too, but people tell you when they die, they're getting their reward now. No, they're not. Burton just died. Burton didn't get his reward when he died. Burton got heaven. Burton got in the presence of God. Burton is no longer hurting. Burton is young again. Burton's with May. Some awesome, awesome stuff. But he hasn't got his reward yet. Neither is May. You know why? Because the seeds that they planted is still harvesting. He's still reaping. His reward is going to come at the bema seat of Christ during the 7 years of tribulation. At the bema seat. Y'all watched the Olympics. You saw them at the Olympics, how they stand up. The ones, the platform, there's the gold and the silver and the bronze. And they're like this. Gold, silver, bronze. That's called the bema. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ or the bema seat of Christ. During the tribulation at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that's when we're going to receive our rewards for what we've done here on earth. And the reason that Burton is not getting his now and May's not getting hers now because even though they're dead and gone, their seeds are still flourishing. Flourishing. Something that you might think is minor, something very powerful. Even looking back there, those things, you know, those banners back there that May had made, put up there. Those things right there, every time I see them, my heart jumps. And I think about, you know what, there's no telling what they're going to get. Some of y'all are telling what you're going to get at the bema seat. You're not going to get it when you die. You're going to get it at the bema seat because after you die, your seeds live on. They continue to flourish. They continue to supply a harvest. Wow. That's awesome. That is so, so awesome to think about that. I want to do something that's going to outlive me and outlast me. Everybody in here right now, I want you to stand. God's calling all of us to learn to sow and watch how we sow and understand that every time, every action we do is a sowing. every word that comes out of our mouth, we're sowing. One translation says, not only will you have what you say, one word says you can have what you say, actually means you can have what you sow. What you sow. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First, let me ask this. When nobody's looking around, I don't want to embarrass anybody. When nobody's looking around, would you tell me, I don't know Jesus Christ, I'm a personal Savior. That right there is the very first thing you got to do. That's the very first thing, is you got to know Him. If you don't know Him, would you slip that hand up? I can pray with you. Maybe you know Him or knew Him, but you were one of those I was talking about. You didn't just quit. You quit trying. Tearing you up inside because you didn't just quit. You quit trying. You told yourself you'd get back in there, but you didn't. You told yourself that there was going to be a day when I was going to get back strong, and you're not. And you find out that you not only quit, you quit trying. Nobody looking around, every eye closed. Would you raise that hand and say, that's me. That's me. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. I pray right now that God gives you supernatural strength, supernatural wisdom, supernatural want to. And I pray that God lets you see that the seeds that you have already planted were not in vain, but they're coming up as we speak. And that God shows you that to give you fresh breath within you. Maybe there's someone here right now, you haven't quit yet, but you're so weary. Man, you're weary. It is terrible. You have worked and worked and worked, and you've done and done and done, and you just don't see how in the world it could even be any good. And you haven't quit yet, but I can tell you what, the finish line's in sight, and you're still thinking about, you know what, maybe it ain't worth it after all. Nobody looking around, every eye closed. You just got weary, and you need God to touch you. Nobody looking around, would you put up a hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. I've gotten weary. It's gotten to me. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. I know it hurts. I know it's aggravating. But you got to hang in there. Jesus will be back soon. He'll straighten this all out. Maybe you're here today and you just need God to strengthen you and wrap His arms around you and pick you up and encourage you and let you know everything's going to be all right and that your labor's not in vain. You just need God to show you that one more time. A shot in the arm. While nobody's looking around, everybody's got their eyes closed, their head bowed, would you put that hand up and say, I just need that shot in the arm. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Just need that shot in the arm. God, I just need to know that this is not in vain. That I'm not playing around. This is real. And what I've done is going to come back. And I thank you for it, Lord. This morning, if you put your hand up for anything, one and two and didn't, you got something else you need to pray about. The altars are open. The altars are open. But know this, nothing that you have done for God has gone unnoticed. Nothing that you've done for others has gone unnoticed. You planted seeds. You may not have seen them grow up yet, but they're coming. They're going to be here. You can depend on it. Some seeds you'll never see to fruition. The fruit will be seen when you're at the bema seat of Christ. That's when you're going to see it. But it's coming. It's coming. You need to pray. Come on up here. All that will. Going up here and spend some time before the Lord. Whatever your need is, you need a healing in your body. You need to touch you. You need God to strengthen you. You need God to just spend some time and talk to Him. Thank Him for this day. Thank Him for what He's doing. God is awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. Father, I love You and I praise Your name. I thank You for all that You do for us, Lord. I thank You for everything that You do. Every time You do it, Lord, You're always on time. We don't understand it. We don't see it. But God, You're always on time. Always. Thank You, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. God is awesome. All the time. Don't forget, we got cake next door. A cake right next door. Not that next door. Across the street, but right next door. How many like cake? Matter of fact, you might get two pieces so you can have your cake and eat it too. Okay? Or cut your other piece in half and have your cake and eat it too. They have cake. Come on back Tuesday night. We're having a good time on Tuesday night. Also, we're having Bible study along with cake and whatever else we might bring next door. It's good. We're having a good time. God's awesome. Look at somebody and tell him God's awesome. All the time. All right. Brother Steve, we just missed some prayer, please.